the future of general aviation in an era of rapidly rising costs. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us. Today, we'll wrap up Jim Campbell's conversation with outgoing AOPA President Phil Boyer. Among the major challenges facing general aviation is rising costs. Just as the Sport Pilot Certificate and Light Sport Aircraft promised to bring down the costs of entering general aviation, oil prices and a declining U.S. dollar are pushing them right back up. So how do we reverse the decline in pilot numbers in this environment?
I keep hearing members talk about the price of fuel. Well, as fuel starts getting more expensive and insurance gets more expensive, what do? I go out and buy another plane. So now I have a fleet of two. I mean, not elegant airplanes, but, you know, and they both burn leaded avgas. And so here I am now taxing to the pump twice, once for my 172 and once for my biplane. And each time now I give a ride to somebody in the biplane and their smiles from ear to ear, I think, gee, you know, I can understand why they charge $350 for this down in Key West when you go on a tour ride in the same plane. But, you know, we still do this, those of us who are in it, because we find a value, a benefit. I know after work, Monday night, I went up after work in the biplane just to get the rigors of the day away from me. Now, I was paying $6.82 a gallon for avgas, and I'm not a rich man, but I found value in that. Was I looking at the fuel? I've never looked at the fuel flow in that thing in my life. Oh, geez, if I go to 18 inches or 1,800 RPM, I got I'm down to almost 11 gallons an hour. $66 or $68, that, you know, or 70-some dollars, that's not bad. But I found value in it. It's worth that to me. If we really step back and price some of the other things we do. I like to ski. I call it a great year if I've been out skiing three times a year. And generally, if I'm going to ski that few times, I want to go to, you know, nice places, Colorado, Utah, and go skiing. If I added up the cost per run coming down the mountain last February in the three-day trip we took all the way out there, rental car to get up there, lodging there, meals, price of the lift tickets, it would cost far more than what cost to fly that Waco that night, and a much greater thrill for me. So I think the pilots who are in this today do understand that 61%, 6 out of 10 pilots, chose the cost of fuel as the primary reason for their decrease in flying their airplane. Two-thirds of the respondents were already flying less, and another 15% who were flying an equal amount said as soon as it reaches $7 a gallon, I'd call $6.82 pretty close. That was self-serve, so if they got it out of the truck, mm-hmm. it would have been 50 cents more. It's obviously a problem. Everybody turns to me, well, what's AOPA doing about this? Well, I'll put this pledge out to your viewers and your listeners. As soon as AAA, a much larger organization than us, the American Automobile Association, mm-hmm. as soon as they can do anything for the person, all of us who have automobiles, and in many cases are members, mm-hmm. then I'll jump in and try to figure out what they did and do it for aviation. It's obviously tied to a lot of politics, a lot of Middle East issues, and I wish, I'm not trying to make light of this, I'm trying to let you know I go through the same thing. I'm helpless in this case. The same way I'm sometimes helpless in terms of what they charge for the price of a new airplane. I'd love to, it would be lower, but we that isn't an area you can ask your association to get in.
Over the last year in particular, we've watched incredible developments in general aviation in particular. We're seeing the jet game become part of general aviation more and more. We've got three single-engine jets either on their way to production or on their way to test flights or in some cases shortly after. We're seeing incredible cockpits, synthetic vision in ways we've never seen synthetic vision before. A lot of technologies are filtering down and providing the possibility for general aviation to make a case in some ways that it's far more versatile and far more valuable than it's ever been. What opportunities and what liabilities do you see for this new generation of general aviation aircraft?
The marketplace is a-changing. I mean, here at the fly-in, we've got everything from a Piper Cub and LSAs all the way up through medium-sized jet from Cessna. And in between are all these things you're talking about. We've got airplanes, single-engine piston, fixed gear, that go 235 knots. At least it says that on the sales bulletin next to it. My Baron, when I owned it, was pumping fuel into two engines, went about 195 knots. And it was retractable, huge insurance, training, and everything else. So things are a-changing. And therefore, we as pilots who may be, oh, I want the good old days, I want the this, you're not a real pilot if you're not flying a tailwheel airplane and this and that, we have to realize that general aviation, like it or not, are two words that now identify an even broader range of activities. But there's some place in this for everyone. The new pilot who wants to get into this, doesn't have the money for $10,000 worth of flight lessons, may find, I just talked to a school today in the local area that was here at the fly-in, may find the LSA is the way to go. We that have a mandate and a mission by our founders, and currently not about to change that, are only taking on general aviation. And it's still a big, wide swath to cover. And I think it's exciting. It's one thing to get in these planes, but let's not bury our heads in them. The glass cockpits are wonderful. The synthetic vision is wonderful. There isn't a flight I make, whether it be in our company plane or in my own plane, but particularly in the company plane, that I'm not flying in that plane. It's all new technology. It's all glass. It's flying in the flight levels. It's getting to 45,000 feet if we need to. But I'm always learning something. I'm always there. There is no one that isn't. How can I get in here in the storms that were here a couple weeks ago? Can I shoot the gap between it? So we have a lot of things other than just the airplane. It can be as technically advanced as possible, but I haven't seen an airliner or a technically advanced GA airplane go through that contoured magenta, not even red, heavy precipitation on a radar and make it through. So pilot education in this new world is really critical. What's the role of glass? What's the role of having some piloting skills? What's the backup plan? And then if you get all that mastered, so you got a new Cirrus or Columbia or any other high-tech airplane, and you got it down, they've signed you off, your instructor says, you're ready to go. How are you going to cope with the rigors of the things that almost the acts of nature are going to bring, rather than just how do I make this thing work? So I think that is going to be a huge challenge. And I hate to sound like a purist, but with an Air Safety Foundation that constantly is scrambling to find courses on the Internet, they've got some 30 courses now, and they're needing to attract a broader range. They're going to have to be able to talk to the uniqueness of some of the LSAs in crosswind conditions, and there are unique ones, to all the way to the pilot who's going to put jet fuel in the airplane, single-engine turboprop or small light jet. So all of this is going to be a big challenge for us. And then as owners or prospective owners, I see planes out here I drool upon, but I can't afford a $600,000, $650,000 single, as wonderful as it may be. But it's exciting times, because we can even, like our sweepstakes plane, get a 1976 Archer and put in, once again, one of the newest companies, Aspen Avionics, and a glass panel that replaces the steam gauges for under $10,000. My gosh, a 76 airplane that you can buy used for maybe $40,000-$50,000 and put a little more money into it, and you may have a $250,000 airplane for under $100,000.
We'll be back for more with Jim Campbell and retiring AOPA President Phil Boyer in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plagg. Today we're listening to Phil Boyer look back over his 18 years at the helm of AOPA. Here's ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell.
There's a constant complaint when you talk to people within the pilot community is that, well, we're getting kind of gray. And you mentioned that for the first time that in quite some time that the pilot stats had dipped below 600,000. Is there a solution to bringing more people into this and revitalizing the pilot ranks? Or are we kind of doomed to dwindle away?
Well, I'm not willing to give up yet. I tell you, I've worked 18 years at trying to do something about this. And we've done a lot at AOPA. And EAA with Young Eagles has done a lot. But the problem is, it's a two-decade payoff in the main when you take when you concentrate on intermediate or high school students. It's a two-decade, because who learns to fly today? The person who's got the kids kind of on their road, out of the house, or at least in high school where they're paying more attention to their own friends. You don't have to take Johnny to the soccer game when they become a junior in high school. You know, they're anxious to get there to do whatever they do themselves. So the target for learning to fly today, and people, I know I'm probably heresy here saying it's not the kids. It is the kids. But there are others, including AOPA, that work hard on the kids, and nothing beats the Young Eagles program. Mm-hmm. But I really would like to concentrate more on the old buzzards. So while they have Young Eagles, we have old buzzards. And by that I mean, and we're sitting here in my office, and right outside is a ramp, and in a week or two, there'll be Young Eagles rides. And I'll get my 172 out of the hangar, and I'll be taking them up. And the kids will have that smile on their face, and you'll be, you know, they don't even realize they're with the AOPA president. They're in an airplane, and that's what counts. But you know what? There's an equal smile, and there's a latent commitment by the grandfathers, yes, fathers, and mothers who are sitting on the berm watching this all take place. First of all, if they didn't have some interest in aviation, they would have never brought their kids to the airport to get in the plane with a stranger to go flying. Come on now. These people are targets, and that's the target AOPA continues to drive at. That person between 35 and 65, who we can increase the population today, so that when those people I gave the Young Eagles rides to last year get of age, get the money, are solidly on a career, have raised their family, or it's well underway, can go out to the airport and find the environment we have. We've done it with Project Pilot to some extent. We've done it in a lot of ways. But you know, the number keeps inching down slowly. I'll give you the boardroom speech, which, well, if we didn't spend that money, and I really believe it, imagine how low it would be now. So we've arrested it. We have proof of that. We know how many people we put through this thing. The average age of a student pilot is 43 years old. Now, that's not a lot of young people. That's the people who can afford it going out and learning to fly.
Phil Boyer's retirement, announced on Monday, will be effective December 31st. What will change? We know only one thing for sure. Craig Fuller, who takes over January 1st, will have some big shoes to fill. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. Find video of this conversation with Phil Boyer in the archives at aero-tv.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.